You know, we sang that song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous. How wonderful. And I can't explain what that does to my soul. I hope it does the same thing to your heart. As we think about a Savior and a God who cared so much for us that he provided a way that we could be ransomed back into his family. A people that went their own way and did their own thing, and yet God provided a way through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. We stand in his presence and we're amazed. This morning we started our morning service off thinking about the awesomeness of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And even though we're studying in the book of 1 Kings, there's a story that's a parallel to that that I would like to draw some attention to at the end of our service this morning. But good morning and great to be with you as we continue our study in the book of 1 Kings, Elijah, God's mountain man. It's great to sing together, it's great to pray together, and it's great to study God's word as a corporate group at Bethel Bible Chapel this morning. The title of today's study is Elijah, a man of God, a promise of God. Well, maybe you'll remember 4 weeks ago, because that's when we concluded the portion of our Elijah study, and we're picking it up again this morning. But Nicholas led us through Elijah's giant face-off with the prophets of Baal and Asherah. The title of that was The God Who Answers by Fire, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 40. And for those that weren't here and those that have not been studying through the book of 1 Kings in the story of Elijah from 17 through to 20, I would challenge you to go home and read this story because it's amazing. I love the prayer that was said by Elijah in that portion of scripture from our last study. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 and 37. Listen to these words. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel. You are the God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What a prayer. What a powerful prayer. I wish that prayer would come true in our culture, in our city, in our province, in our country. That a country that's turned their eyes away from God, that's made no room for him, would be returned to God, seeing his power and his glory in the person of Jesus Christ. That would be our prayer this morning. That would be our prayer for each one of us in this room and those that are watching online. Well, we know the end of that story because we read it through in 1 Kings chapter 18. It was a great contest to see once and for all who the true God really was. The Lord God proved himself to be the Almighty God and the only God. It was a glorious victory. Fire did come down from heaven. And I love the fact that it just didn't burn up the sacrifice. It burned up the wood and it burned up the stones and it burned up all the water. And it was a clear victory showing who the eternal God was in all power and all glory. As we look back in our Elijah studies, we see that Elijah's ministry was marked by powerful prayer. Jerry spoke about prayer this morning, that the power of prayer is we can't even register the value of what that is when we can bring our requests before the throne of grace. And God hears us in the big things and in the little things. And we're asked to pray and show our heart to the Lord. You know, we're going to have a study on prayer later in the summer towards the early fall. And it's going to be a study that expresses all the different types of prayer we have before an eternal God as we pour out our heart. And we're looking forward to that. But we look back at Elijah His life was marked by powerful prayer. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, where we started our study, Elijah declares that it would not rain except at his command, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. It was because of his prayer. 1 Kings 17, verse 21, Elijah prayed for a widow's son. You remember the story if you were here studying with us. He prayed that he would be revived, he'd be resurrected, leading to the first resurrection from death in Scripture. Amazing power of prayer through the person Elijah to the eternal God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 and 37, we have quoted this prayer already. That's that amazing prayer. Elijah prayed that God would send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar, and God did send fire. And this morning, we're going to read how Elijah prayed for rain after 3.5 years of drought, and how God sent rain. Elijah's life is a model of powerful prayer and intercession, and it would be the desire of my heart to have that same power in my life. It would be the desire of my heart for each one of you to have that same power of prayer in our life, where we can honestly give our heart to the Lord and see amazing things because of our dedication to prayer. Well, before we go any further and read our text this morning, I think we need to read James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. For those that have your Bibles, please turn to that. It'll be on the screen. But James chapter 5 expresses the backstory as well as the front story of our current text that we read this morning. There's more told about Elijah's prayer in the book of James than actually in our 1 Kings chapter 18, which is interesting. But God's word is eternal. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit and is here for direction and reproof and edification. So let's read James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. You know, this text clearly states that Elijah was just like you and I, mortal men and women, with the same propensities of fear and doubt and unknown situations in the future. The same propensity to doubt what God said, and yet because of his faith and confidence in his God, this text says he prayed fervently and earnestly that God would answer. And the Lord used him in great ways in his ministry for God's honor and for God's glory. Well, let's read our text together, remembering what we just read in James chapter 5. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. It'll be on the screen, New King James Version I read from. Verses 41 to 46. Let's read this. So the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed everything. And this is the next thing that happens. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." 7 times he said, "Go again." And then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, "There's a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab," I love this, talk about expectancy. "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops." In other words, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. You know what happens when it rains? And it hasn't rained for a while. There's mudslides. And everything kind of goes slidey. And runs off. And there's horrific damage. He says, go up before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime, the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Talk about the power of the Spirit. And he girded up his loins and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's about between 15 and 20 miles. And he stayed ahead of the horse and the chariot. That's pretty amazing. Jennifer ran the Chicago Marathon back a few years ago. And I went with her, of course. And I thought I should participate. And 26 miles is way too long for me. I wasn't going to do an Elijah, but I ran through Chinatown in Chicago for 1 mile and then took the subway for the rest of the trip. Here's a man by the power of God's, but by the power of God, he actually, after giving God's decree, praying earnestly, he runs ahead of the chariot and he gets there before Ahab. What a great ending to the story of a terrible drought, which was a judgment from God because of idolatry of the nation of Israel. You know, God made a decree in Deuteronomy back in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16 and 17. This is what he said to the children of Israel. God warned them, provide that if they would turn their eyes away from him and that they would follow another god and worship another god, he would send a drought and there would be no rain. And it happened in the days of Ahab because of their heart was cold against God. God always keeps his promises. God always will bring his decrees into play regardless of what we think we have control over. Well, in 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 to 46, I believe there are some biblical principles regarding our prayer life that we can establish from this text this morning. To help us navigate through these principles, I've outlined four headings that characterize Elijah's prayer life and how that applies to your prayer life and my prayer life today. So firstly was Elijah got alone with God, verses 41 and 42. Next, we have Elijah prayed with confidence, 42 and 43. Elijah prayed specifically, verses 43 and 44. And Elijah prayed fervently, verses 44 and 45. So let's get started. Elijah got alone with God. You know, after, in verse 42, after Elijah's victory at Mount Carmel, the natural instinct for us would be, let's hang around where all the people are and get accolades and praise from all the well-wishers. That's what we do, don't we? To bask in the praise of all those who were present when Elijah called down fire from heaven. After great experiences and spiritual highs, people have the propensity to involve and bring accolades to the people rather than the provider of that strength and that power, who is God. That's our natural tendency, to hang around and have people build us up and pat us on the back for things that have gone well because of God's power. Elijah didn't do any of these things. The Lord's victory through his servant Elijah was great, and it was amazing, but Elijah knew where this power came from. In verse 41 and 42, Elijah sends Ahab away and goes to the top of Mount Carmel to be alone with his God. Isn't that great? All the people were gathered around. They were celebrating the fact that they had turned from idols of Baal and Asherah, and they were witnessing the revival of a nation back to God because of the miracle that God did at Mount Carmel. And what is it? Elijah goes up to be alone with God. You know, Bible teacher A.W. Pink says this. He states this about being alone with God. Separation from the godless, and shutting out all sights and sounds that takes our mind off of God is absolutely indispensable. The atmosphere of this world is fatal to the spirit of devotion. And we must get alone with God if communion is going to be enjoyed. Elijah went up to be alone with God. There's nothing like a private spot for prayer. You know, when I was a young boy, there was a man in our church, and he used to talk about going into his closet and praying. And I had a very small bedroom. I had to walk in and back out. And my closet was 18 inches wide. And I used to think, wow, I'm going to go in my closet and pray. That's a little bit uncomfortable. But as I got older, I understand what he was saying was, that was terminology for getting alone with God, getting a spot wherever that is, in your bedroom or in your garage or in the basement or walking a trail, but you get alone with God so you can commune. And I know in my own life, when I practice this, in my prayer life is so much stronger, more concentrated, more effective, a place where we can hear from God and hear God and tell God without distractions all the way around us. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is a great example of this getting alone with his Father. Throughout his public ministry, the Lord drew away from his disciples. He went up to a mountain to pray. Even when he was tempted for 40 days, he prayed in the desert and he fasted. He got alone with his Father for strength and empowerment of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 11 and Luke 4 and Mark 1 and Mark 26 are all examples of the Lord pulling away from the crowds to be alone in communion with the Lord. Prayer principle number one, get alone with the Lord. Make it a practice. Set time aside, just you and the Lord. Private and alone with God. William Walford wrote this amazing hymn. Man, I used to listen to this when I was a kid. Tennessee Ernie Ford would sing this song, and we had a Philco record player, and we used to put about six records on. And by the sixth layer, it would kind of go a little bit swimmy, but these were the words of Sweet Hour of Prayer. They're indelibly etched in my mind as I think about that song and the truth of this song. This is what it says, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bliss. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like us getting alone with our God to hear him speak to us and for us to speak to him away from the distractions and the noise and all the things that happen. And, you know, there's just a clutter around us. If your family is anything like our family and our life in the busyness, we need to find a place where we can actually speak to God honestly and truly, hear our hearts, and beckon on him for our petitions. Get alone with God is number one prayer principle. Well, Elijah prayed with confidence. That's our next one. Verses 42 and 43. Elijah could have said many things to Ahab in verse 41. He could have condemned him for his idolatry. He was an idol worshiper. He had lots to condemn him for. He could have mocked him with, I told you so. I told you who God really was. Well, Elijah said none of these things. He told him, go eat and drink because the drought is over. In fact, in verse 41, this is what Elijah says. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Isn't that great? What do you mean there's a sound of abundance of rain? There's not a cloud in the sky. There's no clouds. There's no wind. What do you mean there's a sound of abundance of rain? This is the confidence that Elijah had in his God because he remembered back in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. You remember that? The Lord said, I will send rain on the earth. Elijah knew God's word and had complete confidence in it. You know, This is one of the things that we're challenged to do is read through Scripture and pray through Scripture. You know, not everything, we have to be contextually accurate and look at what God is telling us in the context of whether this prayer is for us. But God's promises are true. And there's a verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and we often use it for the conversion of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it's more than that. It's more than just your conviction on your heart through the word of God for salvation, but it's for each one of us who know who God is because of his word, and we can have confidence in him. We can have confidence in him just as Elijah had confidence in what God had said back in verse 1 of chapter 18. I will send rain on the earth. And he went up in the mountain, he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, not like you do in an airplane, although that's pretty safe, and according to our Transport Canada, that's the thing to do. But he got down on his knees and put his face on the in between his knees, and he got down on the ground. He bowed himself low in humble attitude towards the Almighty God, knowing who he was. Oh, I wish that we would do that. We stand proud like for something, like we're bringing something to the table. It's only by God's grace that he giveth and giveth again. We sang that this morning. And when we've run out of our hoarded resources, when we've come to the end of ourselves, who do we trust? When we get down on our knees, we put our head between our knees, and we bow down to the Almighty God who gives and gives and gives again. That's what Elijah did. He bowed down in humility, honoring God for who he was in complete confidence. You know, we're not told what that prayer was in verse 41 and 42. But we know from James chapter 5 that he prayed for rain. Elijah prayed expectantly. He was confident that God would answer him. Listen to these words from James chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Elijah trusted God in his prayers, knowing from past experiences how God had provided, knowing what God said in his word, and he prayed for rain. In fact, he was so confident that he sent his servant up 7 times. Hey, is the rain there yet? I love that. Like, is not there yet? That's only the 4th prayer. Let's do it again. 7 times. He's looking for the rain, expecting God will answer. I'm not sure that I pray that way. I don't know that I pray that way with that kind of confidence. Yes, I know what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and I've prayed these words, and I've quoted these words, and I've used these words in our special prayer meetings. And this is what it says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. That's our God, our Lord. That if we ask anything according to his will, number one, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's the truth of God's word, that God hears us and he'll answer our prayer. But do I trust God in his goodness and his sovereignty? Do I? I read stories like George Mueller, and I'm just amazed. Here he is sitting with 110 kids at breakfast, and there's no milk, and there's no cereal, there's nothing. And he's praying that God will provide. And you, maybe you know this story, but all of a sudden there's a milk cart out in the road, and it pops a tire. Well, there was no tires. The wheel fell off, whatever. And this milk's going to go bad, and there's a knock on the door. You think you could use some milk? Are you kidding me? This is God showing up in a prayer. There was prayer from a man with power in prayer. You think of stories and testimonies of those around that have seen miraculous things when God showed up in his power because they relied on him. I'm saying my prayers are anemic, that they're weak. I pray sometimes and, okay, I don't pray believing that God hears my cries. Prayer principle number two is you need to pray with confidence. Faith and trust in God is a prerequisite to powerful prayer. I want to pray believing, trusting God's will in all that I ask. Well, next, Elijah prayed specifically, verses 43 and 44. You know, this is interesting. Elijah wasn't praying that it might rain sometime in the future. And again, we don't know the words of the prayer, but when we go to James chapter 5, it says that he prayed for rain. He was praying expectantly because he was sending his servant up one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven. Is the rain there yet? I'm praying. He prayed for God to send the rain now as promised. Elijah was specifically looking for rain clouds. He prayed that the clouds would form and it would rain. He sends his servant up and he's expecting that's going to happen. He prays specifically. I must confess that my prayers are generic. Am I afraid of specific prayers with the Lord? Am I afraid to ask him that I may be disappointed in God's answer? I need to commit specific items before the throne of grace. Maybe we got to change the way we pray. Maybe we got to say, Lord, will you bring whoever's name that is to know you as Lord and Savior? Will you do this now, Lord? Will you heal whatever name and from whatever sickness? Will you do it now, Lord? Please provide specific need now, Lord. We pray in our elders' meetings that if the Lord's going to stop an endeavor that we're moving forward, put something up now. But put the door, close it, Lord. We need to hear your voice and see your hand. Specific in our prayers of what we need to tell God, and he needs to hear from our hearts. Lord, please turn whatever name from addiction now. Please give guidance. Lord, we need it now. Prayer principle number three, we need to pray specifically. You know, we don't presume upon God's grace. That's not what this is. This isn't, I'm going to command and demand God to answer my prayer. That's not what this is. We don't tell God to do anything, but we ask God in the spirit of our humility, knowing who he is and hearing our heart, Lord, this is what we need and we need to see your hand now. And that's what Elijah did. Elijah threw himself on the ground. There was no pride in him. He was on his face with his, or he was on his knees with his hands, his face between his knees in complete humility to the Almighty God saying, Lord, I'm praying my heart. You said it would rain. Send the rain. Oh, that I could pray in that power and that commitment. Principle number three. We need to pray specifically to our God. The last one is pray fervently. Verses 44 and 45. Elijah kept praying until God answered his prayer. Seven times, up and down. I don't know what the height of land was, but that poor servant must have been tired. I mean, he's praying too. Okay, Lord, get that rain cloud. This is number five. I would say that. I don't think that's presuming upon God. He knew the power of being around Elijah. He knew what God's power was in Elijah's life. How different this is from the way we pray. We ask for something. We either never think about it again, or we give up and we conclude God's not going to answer our prayer. Is that how maybe you've experienced some of your prayer life? That's how I've experienced it. It falls off the map. I'm asked to pray for something. You know, when we meet people and say, I've got a concern, let's pray right there. Let's pray together now. Forget about going back. Let's do it right now. Let's be fervent in our prayer to the Almighty God who asks us to give our petitions to him. Fervent prayer is a sign of faith. You know, my cousin Nick is here, Perino. Nick's mom, Rose, and my dad's first cousin, prayed for Vic, her husband, for 20 years. 20 years. And you know, she never tired of praying. 1 year would go by, and 2 year would go by, and 3 year would go by, and the heart's not turned to the Lord. 10 years, 11 years. You know how discouraging that is? And yet God asks us to be fervent in our prayer. And I remember the day when Vic got saved. Amazing. God changed his heart by the power of his Spirit. Vic did nothing to that. God opened his eyes in God's timing, but he wants us to be fervent in our prayer. Not to give up like we're soft, but to be diligent in bringing our petitions before the throne of grace over and over and over and over again. Doug Rankin is in here somewhere. Doug Rankin's dad, Russ. Helena and family prayed for Russ for 30 years. And I remember the night Russ got saved. Peter's dad, John Norris, and my dad, Ernie Sarlo, were preaching the gospel service. And the declaration went out, is there anybody that wants to receive Christ? And his hand goes up. It's amazing. Amazing story of God's grace. 30 years. 30 years they prayed for that man. And it was darkness to light. It was the power of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son. That's what it was. And that's the power of prayer in our life. And we're saying, oh Lord, I forgot about it, so did you? Yet they fervently prayed over and over and over for years. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. We are encouraged to pray without ceasing. I'm not sure what that looks like, but we're not taking any breaks from this. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, we are continually in earnest prayer. Then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, we are instructed to pray always. The Lord tells us a parable in Luke chapter 18. You should read it. I encourage you to go home and read this parable about a woman who goes to the justice of the city. She comes back and she comes back and she comes back. She's asking for justice. And the judge finally says, okay, enough already. If she's going to weary me out, I'm going to just give her ask. And then the Lord turns to his disciples and he says, hey, here's the story. It's not that I get weary, but do you think I shall not avenge, this is Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Do you think that God will not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night? Do you think God's not going to do what this magistrate did? Not because he's being bugged, not because he says enough already because she's wearing me out. We don't wear out God. God wants to hear our heart and he asks us to pray earnestly and to pray with confidence and he asks us to pray fervently. And because of that, isn't he going to respond in our prayer? Maybe we've been praying for those who have not yet bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to pray that the Spirit will convict and hit them between the eyes. I remember a preacher many years ago saying, I want you to be completely distressed until you make this decision. In fact, I want you to have an ulcer until you make the decision for Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't pray ill on anybody. But the point is, that's the intensity of our prayer to God, that God will not leave people alone. You know, this story of Elijah talks about a victory on a mountain, Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal and Asherah thought they had a God that was in charge of the water and the fire and whatever else he was in charge of, and he was in charge of nothing. And they poured gallons and gallons of water on the sacrifice and called down fire from heaven and consumed the altar and the fire and the wood, and the true God was shown. And it was victory for God when a nation turned their hearts back to the Lord. You know, there was another hill where there was a victory. That mountain of Golgotha, where the very Son of God, the eternal God of heaven hung on a cross to bear on his body our sins and to give us a victory. We sang that song this morning, O Victory in Jesus. Yeah, the victory's there in that mountain. And we need to pray that that light of the gospel will shine into dark hearts and that there'll be an understanding of what Jesus did on that mountain to bring victory for each one of us. And we need to pray that with fervency. We need to pray that diligently. We need to pray that confidently, that God will open the eyes of those around us, our family. Let's not stop praying for that. Let's not stop praying for God to show us miracles and wondrous things by his power and his glory. He's not finished the work with us yet. You know, we're going to, hopefully in the fall, study through the book of Acts. And we're going to study the early church. And amazing in Acts chapter 5, they throw Peter and John in jail and he comes back and they say, you know what? Well, we won't throw you in jail anymore, but just don't preach about Jesus anymore. He said, sorry, we can't do that. And they go back and they have a prayer meeting. And the building shakes. And there's a show up of God's power because you have a group of people that prayed and asked the Lord to show up in wonders and signs. We need to pray that way. It's the same God from Acts chapter 5 is the same God in 2024. Victory in Jesus. Well, as we think through prayer, we think of all those principles from the powerful prayer life of Elijah. I'll leave you with these. Get alone with God in prayer. Pray with confidence. Pray specifically. And pray fervently. I pray that for my own life. I pray that as I present my needs to the Lord. You know, I tried doing this driving in my truck in the morning. And you know what? I need to find another spot. I go too fast. I need to find another spot. I need to find a spot when I'm alone with God. I need to, when I'm alone with God, I just find it changes everything. You know, we did a study from Blackaby, Experiencing God. And one of the things we learned from that is we pray first thing in the morning, Lord, show me the way you'd have me go and show me the people I need to talk to. And just think about the opportunities we walk past because we don't do that. The opportunities that we miss because we're not in tune with the Spirit. You know, we ask, Lord, that, Lord, do this today for me. I'm not going to ask for tomorrow. Just give me the strength to do this today. You think about in your life when people that have lost loved ones and there's been disaster and huge loss in their life and devastation. And they pray, Lord, do you understand my plight? I ask, Lord, that you would bring peace to my soul. I ask that you would save my family, that you would change my direction. Lord, I ask and I beseech you. That's what the Lord wants to hear from our hearts this morning, and he wants to hear from our hearts continually as we present this to the Almighty God who knows what we need, but he wants to hear us in our confession of faith. We need to trust him. We need to trust him for who he is and his character, understanding full well that God keeps all his promises. Let's stand together and let's pray before we do our final song. Let's just ask, each one of us has a prayer in your own heart that's been harbored for a while, things that you need to pray through, things that you need to ask the Lord maybe for. You need to be real with the Lord. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's the heart of a loved one. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's something in your job. Maybe it's just distress in your life in some way or form. We need to beseech the Lord. We're going to just take about 3 minutes in quiet prayer. I want each one of us to honestly and be before God, before the throne of grace in your heart, to ask for what the Lord needs to do in your life. Ask him for that grace. Ask him for that provision. Ask him to show you in mighty ways his power and his glory. And then I'll close off with prayer. Lord, we're on our face before you. You hear our hearts. We thank you. You're a God that cares about every part of our life. Lord, we know your promises. We know they're true and they're right. We know your judgments are justice and wisdom. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that in our life, whatever we've prayed, that you would honor our prayer, Lord. Lord, that if we're praying for loved ones that need to find you as Lord and Savior, that that would happen. For relationships, Lord, for distress in our life, for peace with losses. Lord, we just pray again. Lord, we ask again that we would be fervent and we would be confident. Lord, that we would be specific in our prayer and that we would own our prayer to you. We thank you for your word that says that we can come before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ and find help in time of need. And Lord, there's so much need. We pray for our city. We pray for our country. We pray for our province that they would be like the children of Israel in 1 Kings chapter 18, that they would turn their hearts back to you. Lord, there would be a resurgence of understanding of who you are in your grace. Lord, we ask for a revival in our church, in our hearts, that would be a praying people. And Lord, that we would continue to pray fervently. We ask, Lord, that you would convict our hearts for our laxness in prayer. And Lord, that you would help us in delivering the authority and the ownership of all things to you. Lord, we just own you as sovereign. Lord, we know that you're not taken by surprise in anything that happens in our life, God. We know your purposes are right. Lord, we just ask that you would give us the grace, that you would give us the strength. And Lord, we would pray our wants and our needs before you this very day. Thank you for Jesus who makes this possible. Thank you for the entrance into the holiest of all because of his sacrifice. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that hasn't bowed to that sacrifice, to Jesus Christ, we want them to be stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. We want them to own their life to him, Lord. We ask that simple step of faith to trust you as Lord and Savior, to commit their ways to you, Lord, and to find a resource in their life that is like no other. Lord, we thank you for this time as we sing our final song in worship to you. Help us to do this with conviction as we pray this in the most holy name of Jesus, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.